Now, let me just show you, it is not, this is not an evidence that somebody can lose their salvation. Keep your finger here and go back to 1 John just for a second. 1 John, and let me show you, John wrote exactly what would happen in the days when these people would depart and go another way. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Now, wait a minute. No, chapter 2, verse 4. Chapter 2 and little children in the last time, verse 18. Back up to verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. If any man love the world, the love of a father is not in him. Verse 17, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but that he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last times, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last days. They went out from us. Now, by the way, this is not the Antichrist, it's the spirit of Antichrist. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. By the way, my King James Bible has no doubt. That's in italics. That is interpolation. That is not interpretation from a word in the Greek. So I read it properly. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And so the reason there is in the last days a departure from the faith, from the belief system, from the doctrine that we have had, to go into a system of seducing spirits, back over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 now, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, look at verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. It's like, what do they call it? What do you do when you... Cauterize, that's the word I was looking for, cauterization. Where, and then when it's something is cauterized, you can't feel anything there. And so that is exactly how their consciences, their proper godly system to live right is going to be so seared with a hot iron that now they open up themselves for these seducing spirits who come in with doctrines of demons. I do believe that Paul was speaking to the issue that we're discussing this week. Though it would be after the Apostle Paul, some 500 years before Muhammad would come on the scene, I believe that Paul, inspired of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and God the Father, knowing what was going to happen, he tells Paul, write these things down. This is what we're going to see. We're going to see a multiplicity on Sunday in St. Petersburg, Florida, a newspaper article that's going to say they're leaving the Christian faith and going into Islam because they're giving heed to seducing spirits, allowing doctrines of demons to take over their control, their belief system. In light of that, I want to now then think with you about what I would refer to as the Satanic Trio, which would be the components of the Islamic faith. I want to think about the diviner, the deity, and the doctrine. And those three are the satanic trio that Satan is now using to accomplish ultimately his strategy to have dominion over all the world. The diviner, 570 AD, a man named Muhammad was born in Mecca. He was born into a tribe, one of the tribes going all the way back, so he said, so his testimony is, all the way back to Ishmael and one of the 12 princes, Genesis chapter 25, that would be born unto Ishmael in the establishment of a one great nation, Genesis chapter 17, verse 20, and that nation being Arabia. And now along comes Muhammad. Muhammad, a man who is going to have difficulty through his life. He's going to be a man who is involved in signs, early on, signs, wonders, and miracles. He is a man who has a God, little g, God consciousness, because he's born into Mecca. His grandfather, Abdullah, responsible for, and I mentioned this, being custodian or the sheriff of the Kaaba, where there are now at his birth posted on the Kaaba 360 different gods, different deities that are not the true God. And so there's a God consciousness, little g again, a God consciousness in his life, and along comes these signs, wonders, and miracles. By the way, have you thought about the signs, wonders, and miracles? The book of Matthew, chapter 24, says that the very first, and we were talking about it at lunch yesterday, the very first indicator that Jesus Christ is close at hand in his coming, when asked on the Mount of Olives, let's go back there just a second, because I want to get it in your computer. Look at Matthew 24 just a second. He's on the Mount of Olives. He's just walked out of the temple. He's just made the statement that this building is not going to have a stone standing upon a stone on it. And they're asking him the questions, three of them in Matthew 24. He doesn't respond to the first question in Matthew 24. He deals with that in Luke 21. But the first question is, when is this going to happen? When is this building not going to have a stone standing upon a stone? And then they ask him a couple of other questions, verse 2, and Jesus, after making that statement, saying it in verse 3, and as they sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Not a stone on a stone. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? That's the second question. And the third question, and of the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, here's the first statement out of his mouth about the signs of his second coming and the end of the world. Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying that I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Look down here in verse 11. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Look at verse 24. And there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. They should deceive the very elect. That means believers would almost be deceived. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Prevalent. We have a saturation in so-called Christianity of signs, wonders, and miracles. Wherever you go. This is not the only place it talks about it. 2 Thessalonians, we were just there a few moments ago. And when it says, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, verses 8, 9, and 10, he will use signs, wonders, and miracles. Revelation chapter 13, the false prophet, how will he cause the world to wonder after the beast? Signs, wonders, and miracles. Have you ever wondered how Satan is going to get all the nations of the world into Jerusalem for that battle of Armageddon that starts, actually the campaign of Armageddon that starts in Jerusalem? Chapter 16 in the book of Revelation, verses 13 to 16 says that the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan are like frogs, are demons, and they go forth using signs, wonders, and miracles to gather the kings of the earth for the battle of Armageddon. Signs, wonders, and miracles, a proliferation of them at the end times, indicating we're growing close. And it's the first word out of the mouth of Jesus. This deception is going to take place.